the phone with us instead of being here. Our temperature registered at 107 today. But beyond that, it is absolutely glorious and beautiful here as long as we're inside. So welcome to joining us for this wonderful hour. I know it's going to be great. Bill has put a lot of time into, again, to preparing this for all of us. So without any further ado, tonight's topic is Buddha, Christ, Mahatma, and you. Okay, Billy, go ahead.
Well, I'm on. And what do you think about that title? Is that the best? Buddha, Christ, Mahatma, and you. Oh, it's too good. Actually, I had really a wonderful time preparing this. I sat down, started yesterday. I usually don't start till the day of the call, but started yesterday, and I just felt so good about it. I want to remind us, first of all, that this call is more and more less about the words and the concepts and more about the utter power of our togetherness and the power of life that's here. And now that I've come back from my near-death experience and really come back very fundamentally shifted in many ways, I'm really back very much as an embodiment of, let me just call it, all the dimensions of life. And they're all here. And so there's just that much more power in our togetherness when we gather together. And so while I invite you to be with the words however you want to be with them, I also want to invite you to be beyond the words and just let the utter power of life speak to you in whatever way through these words as background music. The other thing I just want to mention is that my voice still, as part of my coming back, is a bit weak, so I apologize for that. But just bear with me. So, Buddha, Christ, Mahatma, and you. Okay, now, we're going to start today's little talk with one of those quiz show-like questions. Are you ready for the big question? This is like too much fun. So here's the question. What do Siddhartha Gautama, Jesus of Nazareth, and Mohandas Gandhi have in common? Oh, I just love that question. Now, I can see a lot of you thinking hard. Some of you thinking really hard. Ooh, look at that. There's a few of you actually getting the answer. Now, if you think about the topic of this talk, you'll get a really big hint about what the answer is. Okay, you ready for the answer? And I won't do that little thing of asking you the question, is that your final answer before we do this? That would be like too crude, too crass. So here it is, the answer. What they all have in common, all three of them have nicknames. In fact, all three of them have sacred nicknames, nicknames of honor. Now, I bet you got that right, didn't you? So, Siddhartha Gautama came to be honored with the nickname the Buddha, which means, of course, the awakened one or the enlightened one. Jesus of Nazareth was honored with the nickname the Christ, which, translated from the Greek word Christos, means the anointed one. And that term, in turn, of course, reflects back to the earlier Hebrew term for Messiah. And Mohandas Gandhi, the great Indian reformer of the first half of the 20th century, was given the honor of being called by the Sanskrit name the Mahatma, or Great Soul. So there we have it, three names of honor, the Awakened One, the Anointed One, and the Great Soul. And, of course, there are other well-known leaders from many traditions who've come to be referred with other loving and honorary nicknames. I love that term, nicknames, don't you? For example, I just had to do this one. Confucius, because I just think Confucius, the name Confucius is too good. The great Chinese teacher of, I think, the 4th century before the Common Era is our Latin name. Confucius is actually a Latin name for Kung Fu Tzu, which means great master, Kong. And I know if you're like Rick Passman out there, you're thinking, oh, King Kong. No, not King Kong, great master Kong. And he was officially honored as a great master. But I chose to start this talk with these three legends, the Buddha, the Christ, and the Mahatma, because they're so well known to most of us. You know, you did so well on that first question, come to think of it, that I have another question for you. But please, now, I don't want you feeling any pressure here. Remember, your self-concept is not wrapped up in how well you answer these questions. And let's face it, success and failure are really only arbitrary concepts. And the truth is, you know, we all love you, even if you score a big fat zero on these questions. Now that I've helped you feel so good about yourself, and now that you're so totally relaxed, here is the next question. Why in the world would I choose to label this talk Buddha, Christ, Mahatma, and you? Well, as a small hint, please notice that the one person in the title that I haven't discussed yet or described is you. So what would you have to do with all these titles of honor? Why are you inserted in the same category as the great leaders of humanity's cause? And here's where we zero in on the whole point of our time together today. Because you have the same qualities in yourself that these great figures of human history had in their very nature. As you recall, the Hebrew Scriptures described us as, quote, made in the image and likeness of God. And almost every great spiritual leader has reminded us over and over not only of that divine heritage, but also of our inherent divine nature. So I think it could be that we've officially honored those whose divine qualities are really, really obvious with titles such as Buddha, etc., because something way down deep in you and me, in each of us, knows that their wondrous qualities merely reflect that same quality that lives and breathes in each and every one of us. Could it be that there's a, quote, great soul, Mahatma, the name we've given to the Mahatma in you and me and all of us, and that there's an awakened nature just under the surface of our awareness, or maybe on the surface of our awareness, just as there was and is in the Buddha, and that each of us is personally and spiritually anointed, just as was Jesus of Nazareth. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to denigrate or be disrespectful to or lessen the status of any of these great leaders. No, on the contrary, I'm inviting us, you and me, to elevate our self-concept to their level, to the level at which it truly exists. So, and here's where the words really begin to fade in terms of their importance. And it's really the spirit of them, the spirit of you, the spirit of life, the spirit of the divine that takes over at this point. So the truth is, you and I are remarkable presences. We live with a treasure chest of indescribable infinity within our nature. We carry under our very skin a quality of unfathomable divinity that's mighty and unending. We comport within our bones the endlessness and the vastness of life. We embody in our perceived humanity the very same dynamic richness that we've historically ascribed to our world's inspired leaders. We, you and I, experience in our emotional fabric the utter vibrancy of all creation. We bear in our bodies the very creation and creative juices of life everywhere. We bear witness in our brains and our minds to the immense consciousness of the entire universe. We hold life's ultimate gift here, that of love, at the center of our heart, and we radiate it out into the world with our every thought, our every feeling, our every connection and expression. We are the very essence that we call God, and we are that essence in our own core, in our soul, in our center, in ourself. So why are you inserted in the title of this talk, holding equal billing with the great Buddha, Christ, Mahatma, and others? Simply because you hold the same qualities as they do. I hold them. We hold them. Simply because you've been created in the divine image just as they have. Because simply living in you at this very moment is the same greatness that we've ascribed to them. Because you're on a par with them here and now. Because your greatness has chosen this moment, perhaps, to speak to you about your greatness, your specialness, your divine nature, simply because you deserve to be awakened to the fullness of who you are. Because you are, quote, awakened, anointed, and great-souled in the deepest truth of who you are. And simply because everything about you radiates these qualities, whether you're fully aware of them or not. And being aware of them, it certainly helps, but it doesn't change the truth. So who are you then? In the deepest truth of your being, what is it about you that makes you deserving of, if you want it, an honorary label? Well, first and foremost, I believe you are a beautiful, radiant expression of everything in life that we call divine. It's my deepest sense and belief about you and about all of us and about everything is that everything is divine. We're all divine. Everything we see, everything we can imagine, everything that is, we're a divine reflection, an infinite expression, a cosmic creation, if you will. You and I manifest infinity. We're a hologram of luminous, universal light, the very essence of light, life that we've come to call God or Allah or Yahweh or Brahma or universe and all other respectful names. That very essence is everywhere. It's in you and me. Every expression of that essence that we might call creation or manifestation embodies that essence itself. And that essence lives in each of us, ever announcing its presence, subtly whispering its truth, lovingly nudging us in helpful directions, always prompting in us the next creation, infinitely empowering and motivating us, wondrously manifesting itself in our consciousness, creatively inspiring our awareness, generously uplifting our spirit. That essence countlessly filling and fulfilling us, graciously being us and thrilling us, that essence carefully calling us to our truth, to our truth, to our truth. And what is that truth? You are divine, short and simple. Everything that we call or have ever called divine lives fully in you, me, us. It expresses endlessly through you. It has and experiences life as you. And in the purest expression of truth possible, it is you. You know, for me, it's no heretical or blasphemous act to assert that we're divine. On the contrary, to me, it's only a simple expression of the purest truth. Yet, it not only expresses a profound truth of life itself, what it does is it opens our minds, our human minds that are so hungry for the largest truth possible. It opens our minds to an enormous, unending array of possibilities. Like, for example, the inner voice that may be beginning to speak from within you at this particular moment. That inner voice, which is the same one that the Mahatma, Mohandas Gandhi, in his life referred to in this way, and I quote, "The only tyrant I will ever submit to is that still, quiet voice within." Yes, that inner voice is the voice of your essence, our essence, my essence, the essence, that essence that we all share. That source of life, source of truth, source of love, source of everything, that source is your and my core. You're in my center. You're in my divinity, period. Because of that awesome, intriguing, remarkable truth about you and me, I feel like officially recognizing us, recognizing you and us and everyone and everything, recognizing you as a divine presence, as a walking, radiant expression of God, as a living miracle. I feel like recognizing you as a sacred book, like a scripture, deserving to be studied and respected by all of us because so much of what is infinite and amazing lives right there. I feel like recognizing you as an embodiment of everything that's sacred, everything that's deserving, everything that's wonderful. And bear with me here because I know it's not always easy for us to hear such radiant, glowing descriptions of who we are. But because of this delicious, delightful, delirious truth about you, I feel like giving you a label that represents a personal yet futile attempt to put into language the absolute wonder that you are, a label just like they gave to Buddha or to Jesus or to whomever. Yes, you deserve that label because you're that sparkling. You're that radiant, that glowing, that filled with the awe of life itself. You deserve that label because nothing about you is ordinary or undeserving. Nothing about you is shameful or wrong. Nothing about you is suspect or questionable. Nothing about you is anything other than magnificent. Respectable, meaning able to be capable of, deserving to be respected. And, well, to put it simply, absolutely divine. Well, as you can imagine, I'm not actually really going to put that label into words at this time, no matter how much I really want to do so. And I'm not going to do it for two reasons. One, because there simply are no words that are wondrous enough to define who you are. In fact, all the words I've used so far are, believe it or not, far from adequate to characterize what I see as the awesome divine presence that you are, or to describe the ways in which, frankly, all of us are blessed because of the unique and special way in which who you are reaches out to and touches us. You know, there's a second reason, though, that I'm not going to use it, and that's because to label you, no matter how great the label, even if there were adequate words, would in some way put and lock you into a box, even a complimentary box. And you deserve to stay out of any and all boxes. You deserve to stay in that vast, limitless space of who you are. Unless, of course, you really like boxes and you really want to be a full-time resident in any box, then by all means, you know, go for it. That said, though, the more important question has nothing to do with labels or titles of honorary names. The real question, I think, is this. And bear with me with this. Stay with me. How fully or how deeply, how strongly, how personally are you in touch with what's sacred and divine about you? How much are you, like even now, celebrating the very wonder of life that lives in you, through you, as you, around you? How fully or consistently are you aware of the beauty and the lusciousness that you are simply by being and by being you? As you know, many of us get very tied up with the mechanics of this human exercise of life that we've embraced. We fret over finances. We get concerned about political elections and directions. We do. We worry about our security. We get deeply involved in the how-tos of our existence. Sometimes we spend hours figuring out how to solve a particular dilemma. In other words, we wrap our creative minds around the daily demands of this human world, and that's all totally understandable and is certainly a part of what we're here for. And I'm not about to call any of us away from these personal choices because, really, they deserve to be honored. I'm reminded, though, of a quote by a man by the name of Antoine de Saint-Exupéry that I recently came across, and it goes like this. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them to tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. I read that quote just a few weeks ago, and it just leapt out at me. So I want to change it, leave out a few words, and then say it again. If you want to build a ship, teach people how to long for the endless immensity of the sea. And what this saying means to me, without trying to oversimplify it, is this. It's the spirit of life. It's the spirit of the law that inspires us more often than its letter. When we're in the spirit of our life or the spirit of living or the spirit of ourselves, that's when we're grasping or experiencing or are connected with the divine wonder of our every breath, our every thought, our every movement. That's when we're fully alive. Then is when we're filled with and propelled by the strong winds of life's power. It's then that we're moved every day by life's awesome and grand inspiration. Then we're alive in ways that invite us to know our partnership with life, know how we identify with each other, how we're one, and how we participate in all creation. Then, at that point, we can take the tangible aspects of life, the tasks, the projects, the dilemmas to be solved, the issues to be dealt with, and staying in that space, wow, we can live it fully. Thomas Merton once wrote, "Life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived." And when we live in the mystery, and the mystery is this awesome, awesome being that you are and I am and we are and life is and every animal is and all the trees and all the atmosphere and all the universe and the universes and every itsy-bitsy little insect and every breath of air, we've got life around our little finger. So let's go back now to the title of this talk, or the title of our shared time today, Buddha, Christ, Mahatma, and you. At the risk of seeming to lessen the importance of these great leaders and teachers, and I truly don't mean to do so because, as many of you know, I really love and cherish each of them as a brother or as a sister, may I be so bold as to equate you with them, to put you, at least for this moment, or as long as you can stand it, on a par with them. So I'd like to make this point. No one on this planet, either in the present, past, or future, is any better than you, any more important than you, any more lovable than you. No one, no matter what his or her accomplishments, no matter how famous she or he has become, deserves any more or less respect than you do. And I'm not just making a pitch here for our underlying equality, that is, asserting that we're all equal under the sun, and that, of course, is powerfully true. And, of course, I can't pass this moment up without recalling the great Saturday Night Live line that we've heard so many times, "You're special, just like everybody else." You see, I blew the whole thing just by bringing that moment of levity right into here. But let me see if I can pick it up. No, I'm making another point. And it's a point that relates to how much permission you and I give ourselves to recognize this vast, remarkable truth about us. It's about how much, for example, you invite yourself not only to see but to accept and own the wonder of life that you are and that lives all around you. It's about how fully immersed you let yourself be in life's grandeur, both as that grandeur lives around you, outside of you, and as you experience it intimately within you. It's about your saying yes, yes to your magnificence, to your divine radiance, to your infinite beauty. It's about you letting life take you over even more, like right now, as life, the divine, the all, the infinite everything. And that's simply knocking at the door of your heart right now, saying to you anew, "I'm you, I'm you." You know, if I had one request, and one request of you only, it would be this. And as always, you never ever need to respond with a yes to any request I make. But the request is this: to open yourself even more deeply or thoroughly than you already do, and I know you do already, to a profound personal involvement with the beauty of life as it lives not only out there but in you. The elegance of life out there and in you, the wonder of life out there and in you, the grandeur of life out there and in you, the magnificence of life out there and in you and as you, the divine gift of life out there in you as you, and the celebration of life as it lives out there and in you and as you. That is, to open to your profound oneness with beauty, elegance, wonder, grandeur, magnificence. Just think, if each one of us went through each day with this awareness, this experience, it would cast a whole different shadow upon our daily experiences. We could go about our daily tasks, make our impending decisions, solve our imminent dilemmas with a notable lightness and freedom. In fact, even with a joy that could make human living exactly what I think it's meant to be, which is a celebration of the infinite in the midst of the finite called self, called our life, called the world around us, called everything we touch. We'd be so taken with the, to go back to the earlier quote, the infinite immensity of the sea, that the task of building the boat of our life would take on an excitement, a sense of jubilation that would make a tremendous difference in our lives. In fact, it would totally turn the whole human experience all around. So, let's look afresh at the title of honor that may be swirling around you and has your name on it, even if it chooses not to be put into tangible words. That title may or may not be Buddha, awakened one. It may or may not be Christ, anointed one. It may or may not be Mahatma, great soul. It may be a simple label like the quiet one, or an internal label like the humble one, or a nondescript label like the being one. Or, come to think of it, your term of honor may be so quiet that it doesn't speak at all. Or, in contrast, it may be so loud that it could be easily mistaken for ego or pride, even when it's not. Or it may be so exuberant or joyful that it might look like self-absorption. Finally, it may be so human-feeling that you wouldn't even notice a difference between being human and being divine. Then again, it may feel to you like, instead of the label Buddha, the awakened one, your label is the awakening one. Or instead of Christ, anointed one, your title may feel to you like one in the process of being anointed. In this sense, as we know, the title isn't at all important. The inner knowing is. The experience of self and life is. The personal way in which the divine inhabits you and me is. The way that that power of life that's all around and in us is our power is. The way the creativity that is active every moment in life is ours is. The way the love of life lives in and through us is. And the way the wonder and splendor of life abounds in our conscious space is. And last, the way the God within is tangible to us. Yes, that's what's important. So, as we wend our way toward the end of this talk, I want to invite all of us to a central and sacred space, a space like right here, right now, together, a space where all life lives as one, a space where you and I, together right now, have access to everything that life is, a space where, quote, all there is God, unquote, and we are that. A space where only the pure truth of you and me and us and life lives. A space where the divine that has taken form as us is alive and active right here. A space where every dimension of life comes together in unity and harmony right in the middle of the self that you are right now, the self that we are together. A space where you are everything, everything in life right here and now. A space where the very miracle of life comes to the fore now. A space where you know that you are that miracle. You are that life. You are that magical phenomenon of life called God. And finally, a space where only the truth lives. And it's a truth that wants to live consciously in you, wants to be known and felt by you, and in accord with the perfect nature of truth, it wants to be you as it is already, forever. In this sacred space, I see you as wondrous and as perfect, as both divine and human united, as universal and terrestrial, and all that God is in expression or creation. I see you as a reflection of me and of all of us and of all life. I see you like a glorious mirror that both reflects and magnifies creation for the enhancement of every one of us. I see you like an inspiring glimpse of the Grand Canyon, or a Monet painting, or the Taj Mahal, or another of nature's multiple portraits of beauty. I see you like the most intriguing, magnificent, and wondrous of all creation, like the divine walking among us, and like a living saint, regardless of your behavior or appearance. I see you, I believe, at least as much as it's possible, as God sees you, as the Buddha sees you, as the Christ sees you, as the Mahatma sees you, as Krishna, Lao Tzu, Muhammad, Babaji, Maharishi, Ramana Maharshi, Moses, Abraham, etc. see you. With this view, you are seen in the deepest truth of who you are, and according to the creative perfection of your very being. With this view, you're perceived and experienced as you truly are, sacred, divine, beautiful. And with this view, you have a choice right now. And that choice is to let this view be fully absorbed into the deeper skin of your consciousness, to drink in the truth of this view until every fabric of you is drunk on its wonder, to breathe the purifying air of this view into your lungs in such a way that your very lungs feel created in perfection, to fall in love with the very life that has put itself into the form called you, and to discover in mind, feed your emotion, nurtures your heart, and blesses life as and through you daily. As you let this miracle of life take place within you right now, I invite you to drink in conclusion, the following words. And these words, I would like to share, are first and foremost a prayer that I've just put into words, composed and intended just for you. They're also a blessing, again, just for you, on you, about you. And, to say it creatively, they're also a song that I've just written and will now sing to you, although with great respect to your ears without attempting a musical tone. It's a song to your beauty and to your perfection. And finally, and most important, what follows is life's prayer for you, life's song for you, life's blessing of you. And here it is. May the Buddha of life awaken within you the awareness of your own luminous light. May the Christ within you anoint you to fully participate in your divine heritage. May the Mahatma of your core lead you to the greatness that lives within you. May the Confucius of your mind initiate you into the full masterhood of your life. May the Krishna of your soul remind you always of your immanent divine nature. May the Abraham of your being bring alive within you the power of life that you share. May the Lao Tzu of your inner knowing help you find the way, the truth, and the life. May the Muhammad of your heart move you to a deep and soulful surrender to all life. May the Yogananda of your nature inspire you to the purity and perfection of your person. May the Babaji of life's simplicity stir within you the simple presence of the divine. May the Maharishi of yourself spread the truth of you throughout your consciousness. May the Moses of your depths lead you to the promised land of your awesome self. May the Ramana Maharshi of your essence inspire within you the fullest peace possible. May the Pakal Votan of the Mayan tradition and of your ancient self rekindle within you your timelessness and wonder. May the God or gods of all traditions, the essence of whom lives in you now, create you anew on this sacred day and lead you to your created beauty. May the sacred that is alive everywhere and in your core fill your body, awaken your energy, and inspire your spirit like never before. May the divine, in its essence and in all forms, find no distinction between itself and you. And may the you, who are equally divine and sacred as all those above, may the you bless you, sing to you, and celebrate you anew on this and every sacred day. Thank you so very, very much for being so fully one with all of us, for being so fully the beautiful you that you are. And with these words, I'm going to push a couple of buttons here, and then we'll open this up for participant sharing. Just for any of us who are here, if you feel moved in any way to share anything with us, then please just do so. During this time, what I like to say is that, of course, this is not a time for question and answer, so if you forget that and ask a question, I will not be answering it, because what's exciting to me is this is your time to share. I've been blessed with the position of being able to share whatever wisdom of our collective soul in these past moments, and this is your moment to share, and I want to acknowledge the equal beauty and wisdom of everything that you're about to share. So I'm pushing the button now. And if there's anybody who would like to express anything, then all you need to do is just push *6 on your phone to unmute yourself and then say what you'd like to say. Let us know who you are and then express. And then at the end, just mute yourself again. But nobody else needs to touch any buttons. We're in great shape. So is there someone who would like to share something with us? There's that moment of silence. I'm not hearing anyone. So if someone would like to share, just unmute your phone and just let us know who you are.
Bill, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, this is Ron Hall. I guess that was so profound, nobody has anything to say.
You know, Ron, I get that feedback a lot from people that, they're just somewhere else, which is also perfect because silence speaks so loudly. But you're not silent right now. Hi, Ron.
Well, you know, the man of few words had to say something.
Yes, that's right.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, how sweet. Okay, thank you, Ron. Oh, Ron, you are so powerful in your quiet. It's beautiful. Thanks. Is there somebody else who'd like to share anything?
Hi, Bill. It's Marcia.
Yes, this is Marcia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hi, Marcia.
Hi there.
Hello.
I just wanted to thank you. This was just so incredibly profound, and I just felt so one with everything.
Oh, yes.
It's beautiful. Just thank you so much for tonight.
Oh, how sweet. You are so welcome. It really, I feel, is profound, not because I've expressed the words, because as you know, I mainly, what I do is I just open up to where all of us are soulfully, and then I let all of us sort of feed me the words, so I'm really kind of saying back to us what we all want to say to ourselves, I think. But it is, it's a beautiful, profound, and it's an inspiring space to be in. Thank you, Marcia. And there was somebody else who was trying to say something.
Bill?
Yes.
This is Bill Wolf in Washington.
Oh, yeah, hello, Bill. Great first name he's got. Great first name. Nice to hear from you.
Well, it's always good to hear you. And I've been thinking a lot lately about, where should I be trying to take my consciousness? Where should I be taking my thoughts? General sense of direction. And, of course, you did a wonderful job of giving me lots of good things to chew on. And, of course, my only request is that you repeat it all right now so I can do a little better at getting it all. And I do thank you for it all.
Oh, Bill, you're so sweet. You know, with your great mind, I thought you would have had it all memorized by now, but I guess not.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, but there was so much that came to us in the last half hour.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And it's a delight to indirectly to answer the question you've been asking yourself. You know, it occurred to me as you were saying that, wow, wouldn't that be an interesting, I don't know what would be something to call ourselves to, which is, you know, when we want to look at, to insert some of these there. That's profound. Thank you, Bill. Does somebody else want to share something with us? As the saying goes, the phone lines are open, the mics are open. I should do like John McCain and offer a reward for whoever decides to speak.
Hi, Bill. It's Eleanor Hall, the talking one. and I just...
Hello. Go ahead, Eleanor.
Sorry. I just want to... what I was thinking of, and you probably said it, I've heard you say it many times, that little line, the little answer to the question in the Baltimore Catechism, why, that I am made in the image and likeness of God.
Uh-huh.
And you tonight gave such a rich, full, soulful, intimate portrait of what that means.
Mm.
And I thank you very much for that.
Wow. How sweet. Thank you, Eleanor. It was beautiful. Somebody else.
Bill?
Yes.
This is Jim Gerlach.
Oh, hello, Jim.
My mind can't begin to fathom just the incredible aspect of what you just shared. I know my soul is just dancing with delight, visioning a world transformed by that kind of experience. And I'm just so excited to have heard it, to be able to digest it further later as I approach Friday's gathering with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just thank you so much for the wonder of where you hold all of us.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jim. It's a true compliment. I take it in. Thank you. And would someone else like to share anything with us? Okay, it does feel like, unless there's somebody who wants to jump in right now, like we've maybe come to the end of the verbal sharing. And I do want to say that I want to offer my apologies, and I say that with tongue-in-cheek, actually, because we do get quite a bit of feedback about how a lot of you would like to say something, but you are in a kind of a space where your tongue just doesn't seem to operate.
Bill?
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's Pamelita. I was trying to unmute myself. But it wasn't working.
It can be a challenge, can it? Hello,
yes,
Pamelita.
I wanted to thank you and thank us for continuing to bring us back to the remembrance, the reminder that as incredible as Christ, Gandhi, Maharishi, the Dalai Lama, whoever are, so are we.
Mm-hmm.
We are all such just amazing, inspiring, magnificent people, no less than and no greater than any of those people that we consider to be great souls. And that's
one of the things I think, one of the many things I love so much about you, us, this family, is a continued return to self in the biggest sense of that word,
mm-hmm.
and to look upon each other with that most incredible awe, love, and inspiration. Aho.
Aho. That was eloquent and beautiful and just a deep expression of wisdom, Pam. Thank you so very, very, very much. It was beautiful. And what I'd like to do right now, I'm going to push a button one more time. I know you are just so taken with my technological efficiency here. I know you're saying to yourself, my gosh, how does he do that? Well, it's just a gosh darn miracle is what it is. You know, I want to say that one of the parts of preparing this that really I loved was the final blessing.
Yeah.
Or prayer or song. I really felt, frankly, the presence of all of these beings, these presences, these avatar-type beings, who were really like here, just really wanting to pour, I mean, really pour blessing and love and everything, every gift of life into each and every one of us. And I felt in their presence and in that pouring, I felt the tremendous love for each one of us, each of you that is there, and especially because I embody so much more of that than I ever have at this point, I felt that in the depths of my being and in the bigness and fullness of my heart. So I want to translate that to you from them and from us as just a way of telling you how totally, totally I'd like to let those words move us to the next 5 or 6 minutes of just a quiet meditative time, a time where in the silence and quiet of our own being, with only these words as echoing or background music, but in ways that take nothing away from the silence, the amazingness that we are comes to the fore, either to speak or to whisper, or just to be a quiet, quiet presence, not even with a whisper. This is a moment in which we can, with abandon, let ourselves go. Let ourselves go into the utter divinity, the utter grace-filledness, the absolute beauty, the tender perfection, not just of life out there, but of the self that we are, that you are. Yes, if I may repeat the words, you are an awesome, magnificent, beautiful, perfect, absolutely perfect self, person, being, presence. There is nothing about you that is anything but wondrous and deserving in every element of your being, deserving to be seen and recognized and accepted and honored and celebrated, especially by you and, of course, by us. For the truth is that all of life outside and beyond the human consciousness is already very, very, very clear about the wonder that you are. Every being that is anywhere in any dimension knows the grandeur that lives in you, but the grandeur that you are. Every animal, every plant, every prana or chi in the environment, every radiance of love that comes from this planet called Earth is totally, totally aware of how beautiful you are. This Mother Earth treasures you as, yes, her child, but equally as, yes, this grand, independent, magnificent creation, and loves you not just as a mother does, but as the divine does. And to bring all that together into that essence that we call God, the divine sees this truth. And the divine hovers around this truth, just as campers would gather around a campfire, as they tell stories and listen to stories. And the divine tells you a story about yourself, gathered around not the campfire, but the luminous light that you are. And that story briefly goes like this. When I made you, I created myself as a miracle. When I created you, I expressed myself as magic. When I put myself in the form called you, I manifested myself in one of the most beautiful, magnificent ways possible. When I created you into an individual that seems to be separate from me, I played a trick. And the trick is that you and I are so one that aside from the illusion of separateness in your mind, separateness can have no reality. I am you. You, me. I love you more than your mind could ever grasp. I honor you. I see me in you and you in me, and I utter into proclaiming words throughout the entire universe and universes the wonder and the magnificence, the beauty, the preciousness, the sacredness, and the awesomeness that you are. For when you honor you, you honor me. When you see you for the truth of who you are, you see the truth of life. And when you just open to letting all the blessings of life that live imminently, innately, and now in you, when you let those blessings fill you as they do now, you celebrate everything that ever was, is, and could be in time and beyond time forever. I love you. I am you. And I bless you. And again, may the Buddha of life, may the Christ within you, may the Mahatma of your core, may the Confucius of your mind, the Krishna of your soul, the Abraham of your being, the Lao Tzu of your inner knowing, the Muhammad of your heart, the Yogananda of your nature, the Babaji of simplicity, the Maharishi of yourself, the Moses of your depths, the Ramana Maharshi of your essence, the Pakal Voltan of your ancient self. May the God or gods of all traditions, may the sacred that is alive everywhere, and may the divine in all its forms and in its essence, and especially may the you, who are equally divine and sacred as all of the above, bless you, sing to you, and celebrate yourself anew on this sacred day and every sacred day for the rest of your and our lives. Thank you so very, very, very much. And what I'm going to do is turn this over once again to our beautiful and precious Donna.
Thank you. Wow. I know I speak for everyone that's on this call to thank you for being this beautiful, clear light that has given us this absolutely magnificent hour. Thank you so much, Bill. And for everyone, I wanted to just point out just a couple reminders. One of them is that when this call ends, Bill sits down and writes out a summary of tonight's talk. And I know I'm asking in particular that he would include the entire blessing this month. So we do have that. And all we need to do in within a few days, Joanne Smith always gets it up on the website for us. So if you want to go back and renew this wonderful experience that we've had tonight, all you need to do is to go to the website and it will be there. Or you can call in, of course, and listen to it again. So I wanted to make that reminder. Also, there's space there if you want to make a comment or share with one another on the website. And then the second thing that I wanted to mention is that next month, our teleconference is going to be on July 22nd. We'll put this in the July newsletter. It's not the 29th. And the reason for that is that we will be out in Maryland at Bon Secours Retreat Center. We have a wonderful group, huge group coming. We are so thrilled because this is our first silent retreat. And that will be that weekend of the week of the 29th. And for that reason, the teleconference will be the week before on the 22nd. So with that, I just want to wish you all a wonderful 4th of July, a wonderful month, until we convene again together on the 22nd of next month. And for those who are coming into St. George this weekend for the mentoring, we are eagerly awaiting all of you. And we send our love to all of you. So if we could maybe, Bill, if you want to undo so we can all say goodbye.
We are all unmuted, and it's a wonderful day, so we all get to say goodbye to each other.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye. It's been
good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye,
goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye. Mm. Have a wonderful, wonderful month.
Thank you.
Yay. Goodbye, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.